Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
Living in God's place. Living in God's place. And that's what I would entitle this particular scripture that we're going to look at. It comes out of Genesis 50, but we're not going to go there yet. But let me just give you the context of it, and then I'll give you a couple of scriptures, and that will be it, and you'll have this. The context of this scripture is in the Old Testament, a man, young man by the name of Joseph. Joseph in the Old Testament, not Mary and Joseph, but Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph in the Old Testament was a young man. He was the 11th son of Jacob. You know, the 12 sons of Jacob, 12 sons of Israel, 12 tribes of Israel came out of Jacob. He was the 11th son, Joseph. Okay? And Joseph, his name means, may Yahweh add, may God add or increase. That's what his name means. Joseph has another brother, his younger brother, Benjamin. Now, Joseph and Benjamin have the same mother. And his other brothers, they're half-brothers. They have other mothers. The same father, Jacob. So they're half-brothers. So Joseph had half-brothers, and which were Jacob's other sons. And sometimes, I don't know if you've ever had half-brothers, but when you grow up in a family, sometimes you have half-brothers, half-sisters, there can be jealousy and rivalry between you, where you want maybe to be the favorite son or whatever. Well, Joseph was the favorite son. Remember, he got the coat of many colors? And so the brothers knew that Jacob favored Joseph, and they didn't like it. And so there was some jealousy that was in the family that's there. I can really relate to Joseph many, many times, this Old Testament Joseph, with his some of the things he's gone through in life and things he's experienced. Even having half-brothers, not so much in the natural, I had two half-brothers, but I'm talking about in the spiritual. We have half-brothers and half-sisters. We all have, as Christians, we have the same father, but sometimes when we come from other churches and other denominations, it's like we're half-brothers. We have the same father, but, you know, I don't know. There's just a little something there that's between us. It shouldn't be, but you can sense it. Are you with me? You know what I'm talking about. Like, you're kind of the odd duck. You kind of don't belong, you know. And you don't fit with necessarily any particular denomination. You don't really fit. You're welcome, and you have the same father, but you don't really connect. And this is kind of a spiritual analogy that sometimes we can relate to. Well, Joseph has dreams when he was young. Dreams that he doesn't understand. He sees that his father and his brothers are one day going to bow down to him. And he makes the mistake of telling his father and his brother his dreams. Be careful who you tell your dreams to. Don't tell everybody your dream. Not everybody's going to be excited about your success or your dream of success. They don't dream with you. So be careful. But he tells it, and so that increases this rivalry, this jealousy between his half-brothers and Joseph. And there comes an opportunity where they decide to get rid of him. And they put him in a pit. I'm giving you a short version. They put him in a pit. They sell him as a slave. These are his brothers. They put him in a pit. They sell him as a slave. Of all things, his brothers sell him, and then they go back and tell their father with a bloody coat, put some goat's blood or something on it, and said, well, you know, he got killed. He must have been mauled by an animal. They lied to the father, and they sell their brother. He's sold as a slave, goes down into Egypt. As far as he knows, we'll probably never see his father or his brothers again. And there, put on the slave market, he's sold to a certain man. He now is a houseboy. He's a slave in a foreign country. And he's there in a man's house by the name of Potiphar. And it seems like, even though all these bad things have happened to him, God's with him and God blesses him. In fact, a phrase that's often used about this young man is this: the Lord was with Joseph, and whatever he did, he made him to prosper. This is called favor. It's called grace. And so this is typical of his life. And he's in a bad situation. You never plan to be in a situation like that. So while he's there, he's there, and he does the best he can with what he has. That's a word for somebody tonight. Just do the best you can with what you have. Wherever you are, do the best job you can with what you have. God knows where you are. He sees your circumstances. He will give you a promotion when the time is right. But for now, do the best you can with what you have. So God blesses him. And he becomes the head slave in this house over all the other slaves. And over a period of time, things are getting better for him. Then Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him of rape. He tried to rape me. Who's going to believe a slave? He gets falsely accused, handcuffed, taken off to prison. Now he's in prison. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything to deserve this. He's in prison of all places, and nothing like any prisons today. This is much worse. And he's in this place, and he must have had incredible faith, because in the Bible anyway, we never hear of him complaining about anything. We never hear him say, "Why me?" We never hear him depressed. We never hear him discouraged. We never hear him say, "Why am I here? What have I done to deserve this?" We don't ever hear him say that. Not one time. He must know something that we need to know. And that's why his story is in this Bible. So he's in prison. Didn't do anything to deserve being there. And while he's there in prison, God is using him. God is doing something with him. God knows what's going on in your life. He knows the bad circumstances you're in. He knows the situation that you're trying to pray and ask God to get you out of, but he hasn't done anything yet. God knows where you are, and he wants to use you right where you are. Can I get an amen? Amen. You don't understand it. I never asked for this. Why is this happening to me? And God's got plans. The Bible says in Psalm 37, it says this: "The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And when he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand." The steps of a man are established by the Lord. So here's Joseph. He knows that God gave him a dream. He sees no way it's ever going to come about. And now he's down in Egypt, in a foreign prison, accused of something he never did. Looks like he may never get out. And while he's there, his cellmates happen to come in. New cellmates happen to be, one of them was Pharaoh's butler, and one of them is Pharaoh's baker. And over a period of time, these two guys have dreams. And they're talking about their dreams, and Joseph hears about it. And he says, "There's a God in heaven who knows about dreams, and he sometimes speaks to us through dreams. Let me talk to God and see if I can get the interpretation of your dream." So he prays. He gets the interpretation. He tells the interpretation exactly accurate, perfect for both of them. And sure enough, the dreams come true. The baker's dream involved him getting hung, and he got hung. And the cupbearer's dream was that he was going to be restored back as the servant to Pharaoh, get his job back. And it came true. And so when these dreams came true, Joseph was telling the cupbearer, he said, "When you see Pharaoh, tell him about me, and maybe he'll let me explain the situation so maybe I can get out of here." You would think that somebody who interpreted your dream and it came exactly true like you had told him it would, that when you got out, you'd be sure to do that. But what does he do? He forgets about him. 2 years, he forgets about him. And suddenly Pharaoh has a dream. And he's troubled by this dream. And the cupbearer who works close to Pharaoh says, "Why are you troubled?" He says, "I've had this dream and I don't understand and I don't know what to do about it." He says, "Oh, hey, Your Majesty, I remember there was a guy I was in prison with, you know, when you were angry with me. And this guy interpreted my dream and it came true exactly like he interpreted." He said, "Well, where's he at? He's in prison. Bring him to me." So Pharaoh calls for Joseph. Joseph comes in. Short story, he interprets Pharaoh's dream perfectly. And in one day, from prison to the prime minister of Egypt, that fast. Now, I'm telling you all this background for a reason, because I want to get one point here across tonight. While all this is happening, there is a famine that's going on back in Promised Land, back in Israel. Jacob, Joseph's father, sends his other sons down to Egypt to look for some food and bring it back, some grain. They go down, long story made short, they actually meet the prime minister, who is Joseph, not knowing that it's their half-brother. They thought he was long dead by now. He's got all the Egyptian garb on. They don't recognize him. And they're standing in front of him, not even recognizing him. They're bowing down to him, not even recognizing him. And there he is. And he reveals himself to them with this one verse of Scripture. And here's the one I was meditating on. This is the one you need to meditate on this week. Genesis 50, verses 19 and 20. Joseph speaks to his brothers, and he says, "Do not be afraid, for I am in God's place." Now, you got to say that with me. Just say that first part with me. Do not be afraid, for I am in God's place. Say God's place. I'm in God's place. That's a good name for a church. God's place. I'm in God's place. Do not be afraid. God has got me where I am today. I'm in this place called God's place. I could not have made it here on my own. I could not have orchestrated all this on my own. I'm divinely under assignment from the Lord. God, behind the scenes, has orchestrated all of this to get me here today. Do not be afraid. I am in God's place. And you need to be able to say the same thing. Why are you here in Sumter County? Why are you here in Lake County, if you live? Why are you here in Florida? If you look back over your life, there's a series of events, of things that have happened that got you to this place. And you, if you'll be honest, you're not smart enough to plan this out yourself. God has been behind the scenes, pulling the strings, causing things to happen to get you to this place where He wants you to be, because He's got something in mind for He wants you to do. We're not smart enough to figure this out. Joseph, though, says this, "I'm in God's place. And as for you, you meant it for evil toward me. But God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result." Say that part in bold with me again. In order to bring about this present result. To preserve many people alive. Now here's the point. This is, God has brought us here, ladies and gentlemen. We're in God's place. Sovereignly, He has brought us here. Providentially, He has brought us here. There are people He has for us to meet. Things for us to do, yes. But primarily, we need to realize we are in this place. God has divinely orchestrated events in our life so that we are here today. We're not in Egypt. We're not in some other part of the world. We're not in another state in our country. We're in this place. And that's been divinely orchestrated by God. It's God's place. And when you live with the confidence, whether you're in prison, or whether you're in the palace as a prime minister and you know that your life is in God's hands, Almighty God is your king, He's on the throne of your life, then you are where you are, and everywhere you are is God's place. That's a good place to be. And then that way you don't complain, you don't worry, you don't fear. I'm in God's place. God has me here. I didn't plan this. And this is all through our lives. I know, looking back over my own life, I'm thinking, okay, from the Marine Corps at age 19, getting born again, getting married, going to Bible college, after Bible college, coming to Leesburg. We never even heard of Leesburg. What's a Leesburg? Lake County. We didn't know where Lake County was. Youth ministry. I had no interest in being a youth minister. There for 2.5 years, and then from there going to Astor, Florida. What's an Astor, Florida? Can anything good come out of Astor, Florida? And we were there, and then we come to Fruitland Park, and Fruitland Park. And then out of Fruitland Park to Grace Tabernacle. This is God's place. This is what I'm trying to get you to see, that God's showing me. So it doesn't matter what you're going through at the moment. Doesn't matter what the economy is about. Doesn't matter how many people are attending your church and not attending your church. Doesn't matter what's going on in politics. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world. Doesn't matter what ISIS is doing. All those things are important, yes. But it really matters is for you not to be afraid, but to realize you're in God's place and say it with confidence. And I'm chewing on that verse as we're driving down the highway going, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I needed that. You knew I needed that. And so part of this path that God has us on in this journey called faith is a part of brokenness. God takes us through a brokenness where we all go through a process of realizing there are going to be trials in your life. Joseph in prison. Joseph sold by his brothers as a slave. He went through some difficult times and surely didn't understand, why is this happening to me? What's going on? I mean, why is God allowing these kind of things to happen into my life? And we all have those things. And then we look back over our life and we realize that nothing has been by coincidence. Nothing. We are where we are by God's divine appointment. He has ordered our steps. Steve, you wouldn't be here today if it had not been for the Lord. You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be alive today if it had not been for the Lord. I mean, you guys moved from Arkansas to the middle of Florida, and then to a church out in the middle of a cow pasture. I mean, you couldn't plan that. This is God's doing. I'm telling you, you've got to realize, I don't care what your circumstances are at the moment, you need to just relax and thank God. Thank you, Lord. You've got me. You've got me. You know what's going on in my life. You've got me here. I'm in your place, and I'm okay with that. It's not luck. We don't believe in luck. It's the sovereign hand of God at work. He knows what lies ahead in your life. He knows what you're going to need in the days ahead. That's why He has you where you are today, because He knows what you're going to need in the future. You see, if you keep yourself from getting bitter when things happen, like you lose your job or you lose your savings or things happen that you have no way, you really had no control over. If you keep yourself from getting bitter when these disappointments happen, and then you have to see what is true in your life, what Joseph realized what was true in his life. If God allows it, then He's going to allow me the grace to bear it. If God is allowing it, then it's because of something in order to bring about a present result. If Joseph had not gone through all those things, he would not have been the prime minister standing before his brothers when he needed to be. God knows what it's going to take to get you where you need to be when you need to be there. And you need to rest with that. I need to rest with that. Now, so that's our verse. Do not be afraid. For I'm in God's place. This is Joseph speaking to his brothers. And as for you, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. Who knows? You may be in this place because it's going to save somebody's soul. It's going to help somebody who needs help. But you're here because it's God's place. Now, I'd like you to stand up, and we're going to have a confession out loud, and I want you a chance to read it first, read over it, and then we're going to confess it boldly. The Bible talks about us making a confession of faith, a profession of faith. And so faith has to be spoken into the atmosphere. It needs to be spoken into our ears. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. This is our confession of faith based upon this teaching tonight, based upon this one scripture. Here we go. Say it out loud boldly with me. I have nothing to fear, for I'm living in God's place. God's place is a good place. Because God is with me. Even when evil comes against me, I prosper because I'm living in God's place. I may have to go through some necessary trials, but knowing I'm living in God's place frees me from all fear. God's invisible hand is orchestrating things in my life to bring about certain results that He wants to accomplish. Inner peace and joy are mine because Almighty God is my King, and because I know I am living in God's place right now where I am. Just lift your hands as an act of surrender to the Lord. Say, thank you, Lord. You've got me. I'm in your place. And when you want me to move, you know how to get me to move to get into God's place. I surrender my circumstances. I ask for forgiveness for any complaining or murmuring. It's all because I didn't understand. But now I understand. You are sovereign. You are Lord. You are Almighty God. And you're my King. And I don't have to fear, for I live in God's place. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Should make a difference. Confidence, you live in God's place. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.